Amen. You've been singing out on television this week, brother. Okay, Revelation chapter 22. One of my favorite books. Revelation chapter 22. Talk about this subject today. Behold, I come quickly. What did Jesus mean when he said that? Behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22. Look down at verse 6. And he saith unto me, John the apostle is writing this about 60 years after Jesus had gone back to heaven. 60 years had gone by since Christ had been crucified, risen from the dead, and gone back to heaven. Now he's writing this. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show to his servant the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You'll be blessed if you live by this book, God's word says. You want to be blessed? God says live by this book, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed now and for eternity. Look down in verse 10 of chapter 22. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according, notice that, according as his work shall be. My goodness, did you hear what he just said? He's going to have his reward that he's going to give to every person according to how they've been living for him. So how are you living? The Lord is a-coming, and he said, I'm coming quickly. And what does he talk about when he says that? Lord God, speak to our hearts from the word of the living God, I pray in Jesus' name. Did you hear what Jesus said in these scriptures? Twice he said, behold, I come quickly. What does he mean when he says, behold, I come quickly? It's been 2,000 years. Is that quick? Out in the hot field working with my daddy, we'd, Mom and Daddy would sometimes say, well, we'll be done pretty quick. I didn't want to be out there to start with in that hot sun. Amen. But the Lord says, I'm coming quickly. It's been 2,000 years. What's he talking about? 2,000 years is a long time to us. This does not seem to us to be too quick, does it? The problem is understanding what Jesus meant when he said, behold, I come quickly. The word quickly here means when it's time for me to come, I'll be here. Let me say that again. When he says quickly, the real meaning of that word in the Greek means when it's time for me to come, I'm going to be here. And you won't have time to get ready if you're not ready. That's what quickly means. Some people think, well, I'll see the Lord coming and I'll say, Lord, Lord, save me. No, no, it's not going to work like that. When he comes, you won't have time to get ready if you're not ready. That's what it means when he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. When Jesus came the first time at his birth, he did not come quickly. First Mary became with child. Then 9 months went by before he was born. Then 30 years went by before he appeared at the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. Still people didn't know who he was, except Mary. After his baptism, he went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And folks, he was tempted. He went 40 days without food. That's a long time, isn't it? But he never yielded to temptation from the devil. Then at the age of about 30 years, Jesus began his ministry, calling 12 men to follow him so he might train them to carry on his work after he was gone back to heaven. So the first time he came, it was not quickly. He was here some 30 years before he even began a ministry. After 3.5 years of ministry, he was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Boy, that's sad on sad, isn't it? One of his own betrays him. You could kind of understand someone on the outside, but one of his own that had no doubt went out and performed miracles himself. Think about it. One that had seen Jesus feed the multitude, turn the water to wine, heal the afflicted, open the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. And then this man would betray him? If you don't accept Christ, ain't no telling what you'll do. That's what Judas's problem was. He just wouldn't accept Jesus was the Messiah because Jesus would not set up that kingdom those Jews wanted. Jesus, after he was betrayed, was taken to the high priest for judgment, then to Pilate, then to Herod, and back to Pilate, who had him severely beaten, and then pronounced judgment to be crucified on a cross on Golgotha. A man that never done wrong, never said anything wrong, the only man to ever please God. You know, bad things happen to good people even today. But what about Jesus, who never did anything wrong in word, deed, or thought? And he was beaten, nailed to a cross, mocked, jeered at, spit on. And it was all ordained of God because our sin is that awful. Our judgment was coming on him. I wish this wild world we live in today that's gone crazy and mad, I wish it would just stop long enough to think about what Jesus Christ did for them. This world today is full with people that everyone think, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm just supposed to have a good time. God will understand. People are going to get shocked. The mercy of God has given people plenty of time to repent. Nobody can say you didn't give me enough time. If you've had 10 minutes, you've had enough time. I think about the people today. Down the roads, down the streets, churches, churches, churches. Everybody knows what the church is. There they talk about God or Jesus. They know what the church is, but they can go right by it and not even look at it. They're not interested. Millions of people are like that today in our country. Not interested. I got my life to live. I'm as good as them people are. And that's true. People in churches realize they need salvation. Many of them. Do you realize you need salvation? It's only available through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But we know Jesus had told his disciples that this would happen to him. He was going to face the religious leaders, and they were going to have him crucified. He also told them that after 3 days he was going to rise from the dead. I bet some of them laughed at that, don't you suspect? Here's a man saying, I'm going to rise from the dead. Hey, but he did. He did. The Bible says in Mark 8:31-32, man, what a great scripture. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he spake these things openly. Openly said this. Don't you remember after he was put in the tomb, they remembered his enemies, what he said, and they asked for a guard to be put at that tomb? So they knew. Jesus Christ had said, after y'all kill me, I'm going to rise from the dead. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter said, this is not going to happen. Poor old Peter, he had a good intentions, but it just wasn't the will of God, folks. Wasn't the will of God. But now Jesus said to John in Revelation, I'm coming quickly. And this is 60 years later. But as I said, when Jesus said that, I'm coming quickly. When I'm coming, you better be ready because you won't have time. Before the second coming of Jesus, there's going to be what we know as the rapture of the church. The scriptures make this clear. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Boy, that's something, folks, that could happen at any second. At any second. 2,000 years has gone by since this was said. And the imminent return of Christ is possible at any second. He's coming with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All the people that have died as believers in Jesus since the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus went back to heaven, until the rapture of the church, which is in round figures 2,000 years, if it's to happen now, all those that people have died, even their bones have gone back to dust. Suddenly their bodies would spring out of their graves, out of the cemeteries where they have been laid to rest. Those bodies would come alive, glorified, changed, and their soul and spirit would be coming with Jesus and go and enter into that new body. I don't believe that. Well, you will. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Your unbelief won't stop it. And momentarily after that, if we're alive, suddenly, we'll be changed. Our body will be changed and made glorious. Our arthritis will be gone. Our high blood pressure will be gone. Our gray hair will be gone. Amen. We'll have a glorified body just like those that was raised from the dead. And we'll be living in a body that we'll live in for eternity. And we won't need Medicare. Amen. We're not going to need Medicare. We're going to be under the care of the Good Shepherd, amen? Forever. No health issues. Folks, this is going to happen one day. The Bible goes on and tells us more. There's also no scripture that has to be fulfilled before this can happen. This could happen at any second. There's no verse in the Bible that says something else got to be fulfilled for the rapture could take place. These scriptures are, there are scriptures that tells about the second coming, but not about the rapture. For example, the Jews must be in their own land before the second coming, and they're already there. They've been there since 48. Even in our lifetime, in the last year or so, our president has recognized Jerusalem as the city of Israel, as the capital. He's also moved our embassy there. Other countries are doing likewise. That's just another notch. The rapture could take place at any second, any instant. This is why Jesus said to the church, "Behold, I come quickly." In Matthew 24:44, "Therefore be ye also ready." Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, I'm coming back. Just when you think I'm not coming, that's when I'm coming. Jesus is coming back for the church. What do we mean, the church? It's not this building. It's not necessarily everybody that goes to buildings that's called a church. Jesus is coming back for the church that is blood washed, redeemed, a people that have put their trust, their faith in Him. That's who He's coming back for. He knows every heart. He knows who's committed to Him. He won't be fooled. He'll make no mistakes. Not a single believer will be left behind. And not a single unbeliever will be mistakenly caught up. He's coming back for the church that He has bought with His blood. We're a blood-bought people. All those who have trusted him as their Savior, he's going to suddenly come and snatch us away, and we'll be with him forever. He will first of all take us to the judgment seat. After we are snatched up to be with him, we'll go to the judgment to be judged, where we'll all be examined to see what we've done for him since he saved us. How have we lived as a believer in this world? Whether people realize it or not, a record, an accurate record, is being kept of all of us. An accurate record is being recorded of even our thoughts and intents. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? All of that's a record. In Revelation 14 and 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to see how you treated other people. What have you thought about other people? If you have bitter feelings for other Christian people, like black people, Indian people, white people, red people, or whatever, there's a record kept. So we better be careful judging other people. God made all of us. Did you know that? And God had a reason for making all of us. And all these being killed in their mother's womb, somebody's going to be in a horrible condition when they stand before God, killing all these people. They were made in the image of God, and God had a plan for them. Think about the talent or the gifts some of them might have had. They could have cured cancer or many other diseases that God could have used, and yet they were killed. Or some great invention. So people better be careful about judging people. None of us are no better than anybody else. We're all going to live with people of all nations when we get to heaven. Various skin colors and backgrounds for eternity. And I think we'll be the same people there we are here. I've never read where God's going to change us. He says he's going to just give us a new body, a glorified body. And that you'll always be you. Remember, all saved people of the church age will be the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 states, for we must all believers, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. See? Well, how we're living today is going to be examined, folks. You go to church? You support the church? Are you a witness for Christ? I mean, the list is long. That's why when God judged the world, there was none good. No, not one. because we're a race of sinners. Some sinners are worse than other sinners. I know some good sinners, amen? But we're all sinners, and we can only be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I've said it before, you might die a hero, but that won't make you go to heaven. The only way to go to heaven is by Jesus Christ. Some people say, I make it to heaven. That's all I want. Are you going to be embarrassed if that's your attitude? You're going to be really embarrassed. But I've heard that many times. Just so I get in. Well, that'll be nice. They will change their mind at the judgment, though. We will answer for all the deeds done in our body after our salvation, as I understand the teaching of the Word of God. For all the thoughts, plans, purposes, words, as well as for all our outward actions. All that has been thought or done must come into review before our judge, Jesus Christ. What have I been thinking? Now, we're not going to be judged for sin. Our sin is paid for. But what's being done by the Lord at that time is just to see how committed we were to Him. Have we earned rewards? Remember, in Matthew, He said, we must lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We got to lay them up. We got to put them up there by the way we live. The salvation is of grace, independent of works. The saved will have a greater or less reward according to how they live. As Christians, we're to live indifferently, and as Christians, if we are living indifferently or worldly, we will be greatly embarrassed at the judgment, the Bible says. And when you know what? We might think we're committed, but we might be embarrassed too. We might not be as spiritual as we think. 1 John 2:28, you might want to mark this in your Bible. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him. Abide means to stay in fellowship with Him. That's what he's talking about. Stay in fellowship with the Lord. By obeying the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Living for the Lord. We're the Lord's. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. We're no longer our own to do our thing. What did Jesus Himself say? I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. And now we belong to the Lord. We've been purchased from the slave market of sin. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You see, it's possible we dread to see Him even as a Christian. I hate to see Him. Why? Because I didn't live like I knew I should have. Think about it, church. Our life is exposed before Him all the time. We're going to be judged for sin. We're not going to be judged for sin, but for the good things or the bad we did since our salvation. And so the longer you've been saved, the more opportunity you have rewards. Some people want to get saved. Well, I just want to get saved right before I die and waste their life with no rewards. Leave let me say this about this judgment. It's going to be a very sober time for all of us when we stand and face the judge. There won't be any giggling or laughing or joking when you stand before your judge. We may not appear as holy and spiritual as we think when we stand before the one who is holy and knows all about us. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." That means there will not be any warning of his coming. One day we'll be going about our activities and zap! We're gone. We've made a fast exit. I think that's going to be a wonderful zap. There won't be any pain. Just going to be a glorious, suddenly we're free. We've been taken out of these bodies that have dragged us down. We're going to be liberated, free. What an exciting time. The souls and spirits will enter into their new redeemed body when that takes place. We who are living will suddenly be changed faster than one can blink an eye, and we'll have a glorified body and be called up to meet the Lord in the air and carried away to the judgment. Anyone who's not ready will not have time to get ready. Too late. Now they must face the 7 years of tribulation. You think it's bad in this world today? We get reports about how bad it is in North Korea and China and so many other countries, how bad those people are treated. You think about the whole world for 7 years with the judgments of God coming on it for sin and rebellion. Jesus himself said it'd be the worst time in human history. If it's worse than North Korea, it's going to be bad, ain't it? You remember seeing that guy of ours that came back from North Korea, how he was treated? That's just one example. The 7 year tribulation time is going to be horrible. Words beyond description. This could happen before I finish today. Wouldn't that be fun? But it will happen without any kind of warning. So today is the day to be ready. If you ain't ready, get ready. Get ready now. How? Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And commit yourself fully to him. And use every opportunity of every day to serve him. After the judgment, we're going to be taken to the most glorious and expensive wedding there's ever been. Cost will not be the problem. We, the church, will be the bride of Christ for eternity. We will then go on to the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's going to be the biggest table you ever seen, must be. When all the redeemed of the Lord the bride of Christ, sit down at the wedding supper. Do you reckon you'll have peas and okra, Brother Chavis? Amen. Amen, folks. Boy, what a feast that's going to be. We sit down as the bride of Christ with the bridegroom Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 19 and 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You've been saved, you've been called. That's the only way you get an invitation. Amen? Remember the parable Jesus gave in which illustrates the opportunity to be saved? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 14 in your Bible. We want to read this together before we finish. Luke 14. Now this is a parable that illustrates the opportunity to be saved. Luke 14, beginning at verse 16. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. He bought it before he saw it, folks. Can y'all understand how ridiculous that is? I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. He's bought them and not seen them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I can't come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quick into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the Lord said, and the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to his servants, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. For I say unto you that none of these which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Jesus Christ is inviting everybody, everywhere, no matter who they are, to come to this supper. Everybody's been sent the invitation. That's what we're doing. The church's responsibility is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ going in all the world, so that everybody can know, because God's not willing for anybody to perish. And the gospel is going out every day of the week. Every minute of the day, the gospel is going out. Anybody, most anywhere, could hear it if they want to. I know there are some places that's not quite possible. But let me tell you something, folks. If you don't accept the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the Lord said, you're not going to have any of my supper. That's pretty serious. Rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ is serious business. And for us as a church, not to get the gospel out is also serious. Did you all know that? That's why we got missionaries. That's why we got our mission program. We're a Bible church. We're not a program church. We're not a good time church. We're a Bible church. God called me to preach this. I don't have anything else. Only this will change your life. Only this book will make your life acceptable to God, folks. Today we invite people to church. I've got people that's told me 30 years ago they were coming. I ain't seen them yet. We give invitation for people to trust Jesus as their Savior. But many times they refuse. One day they will sadly regret their decision. Can you imagine somebody dying and going to hell and then remember how many times they could have got saved? Just thinking about that would be terrifying to them forever. Just thinking of that one thing. I could have been saved. They begged me to trust Christ and I didn't. I wanted to have a good time first. Well, there's no good times in hell. Our new home is going to be the new Jerusalem. You want to know how pretty it is? Look in Revelation 21. It's 14,000 miles wide, high. Man, that's a big place. Amen? We're going to walk on gold, folks. We're going to go into the city that's a pearl for the gate. One pearl makes up the gate, and there's 12 gates. My, and the jewels is going to be there. You know what? They are not going to interest us. We're going to be satisfied just to be with the Lord. I believe that's going to be the thing that's going to really satisfy us. We're going to be with the one that would love us enough to die for us. Because I think then we're going to fully realize how sinful we were. Now, it will only the blood of Jesus Christ could secure our salvation, nothing else. And if he hadn't been willing to die, we'd been perishing forever. Folks, he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And he meant it. When it's time for him to come, he's going to come so fast, you won't have time to get ready. If you're not ready. Today, I offer you Jesus Christ. If you've not trusted him, please, please ask him to be your Savior. As believers in Jesus Christ, you cannot be too dedicated to the Lord. Did you know that? You cannot be too dedicated. You can't read this book too much. So I challenge you to take the Word of God today. Apply it to your own heart and life. Commit yourself to the Savior. Loving God, thank you for the time, for allowing me to be here today to share the good word of God. Bless this congregation, Lord. Meet the needs of every heart, every life. Challenge us, Lord. Challenge us in these days to share the good news of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Altar's open. We invite you to the Savior. Invite you to come pray. Come pray for somebody that needs salvation. Come pray for somebody that having problems. Come talk to the Lord about your own problems and needs.